reading is Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 to 34. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon, in all his splendor, was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow thrown in the fire, will he not much more clothe you? O you of little faith! So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What we shall drink? Or what we shall wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own.
Good morning to you. I like to reminisce, and I'm an age where I often talk about my childhood, which was wartime. So I do bring a little bit of that into this. When I was a child in the 1940s and early 1950s, a common activity found amongst mums, aunts, grannies, sisters and daughters was knitting. Listening to the wireless, we call it the radio today, listening to the wireless in the evening was accompanied with a gentle clacking of knitting needles. The knitters produced an amazing assortment of items: jumpers, cardigans, pullovers, jackets, hats, scarves, gloves, socks, and even vests. And my goodness, weren't they inchy. And to ladies of a certain age, similar to me, I will not mention the swimsuits. You'll have to ask one of those ladies what I mean there. Because of rationing and a shortage of most things, many ladies acquired second-hand woolies, unravelled them, washed the wool, and produced some new garments. Recycling is not a new idea. My introduction to knitting was a Christmas present when I was 10, a knitting kit complete with instructions. When football matches on Saturday afternoon commenced after the war, as I lived round the corner from the Aston Villa ground, my father took me, I think he wanted a boy actually, he took me to the Villa's home games. That was until I took my newly acquired knitting. And I proceeded to knit throughout the game. I was never taken again, and I don't know why. The recipients of the knitted garments were very grateful for the kindness and skill of those knitters. I heard a story of a serious arwal slick off the New Zealand coast a few years ago. A colony of penguins who resided there were covered with oil. They were attempting to remove it with their beaks, but were at risk of ingesting it, which was fatal to them. The people caring for them hit on the idea of knitting penguin jumpers, which would prevent them from swallowing the oil. And it wasn't long before penguin jumpers were arriving from all over New Zealand, as well as from countries all over the world. Those who had the gift of knitting, using their skills to benefit others, including penguins. We have all been blessed by God with gifts or skills for use for the good of others. These gifts cover a huge range. Sharing these makes the world a better place in which to live. You may think that you do have not any skills at all to offer, but perhaps you are a good listener. Perhaps you are able to lift people's moods by making them laugh. Have you got a big smile? Say no more. In Acts chapter 9, Peter was asked to come at once to a disciple called Tabitha. When he arrived, he was taken upstairs where widows were around her bed crying. They showed him all the clothing she had made for them when she was with them. Peter sent everyone out of the room, got down on his knees and prayed. And then turning towards Tabitha, he said, "Tabitha, get up." She opened her eyes and sat up. He held her by the hand and helped her to her feet. And then he called for the believers, especially the widows, and then he presented her to them. The news spread throughout the town of Joppa, and many people believed in the Lord. Tabitha made an enormous impact on her community by always doing good and helping the poor. Rather than wishing that you had other gifts, make good use of the good gift that God has given you. And by the way, knitting is not my gift. Okay, thank you.
Now you might be thinking to yourselves, what on earth has that got to do with the service this morning? Well, I shall explain it to you. Are you sitting comfortably? Then I shall begin. Now, that piece of music came from a film which, of course, was starred in by Sidney Poitier. And why I've asked John to play that piece of music this morning is because Sidney Poitier played the part of a wanderer who was just driving around, getting work where he could, doing what he could to help other people. But he had a natural gift for building. So what he did, he went to an abbey, and there were just the ruins there. There wasn't much there at all. And he thought, we could rebuild this and make a beautiful church out of it, because there were nuns who were living around the ruins at the time, and they were living in tents and old shacks and places like that. So he decided that with his skills, he would say to them, come on, let's all get together. And so the nuns started working as his labourers, and they started to build this chapel. A little while after that, the village people came up, and they wanted to know what was going on. What's all this activity? Why are people coming into the village and buying wood and buying bricks? Because they used to make their own bricks, mud bricks, of course. And eventually, he had not one, but he had the whole village helping out as well. And with his gifts of building and that sort of thing, he was then able to complete this particular chapel. Partway through, he became a bit disillusioned and he had the wanderlust. And he thought, I need to move on. So he thought to himself, yeah, it's time to go now. We're well on the way with the building. I'll just let them finish it. So after a short while, he kept pondering this thought in his mind, and he said to the Mother Superior, I would very much like to leave you now, as I need to go and do other things. And she was aghast. She said, oh, please don't go. And he said, no, the time has come. I've served my time here. I'm going. Eventually, she talked him round, and he actually got in his vehicle and drove off out of the gate. And then he had second thoughts. So he turned around and came back again and completed the chapel. And I thought that was a lovely, lovely film to watch, and very poignant in places. But I'm so pleased that we actually, shall we say, spent the time and watched it. Because you know what some of these old films are like. They come on the television and you look at them and think, don't think much of this. And I say to Jean sometimes, is this all there is on that we like? And then suddenly things start happening. You think, this is a jolly good film, you know. And not only once has that happened, but many times. So that was the story of the film. That was the story of why we had this piece of music this morning. That's the story of the connection between gifts. He had a gift of building. Now we're moving on. This time, we're moving on to North Africa. Now, I had an uncle. He was a gunner in the London Scottish Regiment, and he took part in the North Africa campaign and the London and Scottish Fusiliers and people who he worked with. They were part of the 8th Army. And he went out there. He spent a lot of time out there. And after North Africa, where he spent so much time, he then was sent to Italy. Now, when he was in Italy, he was based at the Battle of Monconcino. I don't know whether you know about the Battle of Monconcino. Monconcino was an abbey tucked right up on the top of a hill. And the Germans occupied it. And they founded a good lookout post. And Uncle, and being a gunner, and all the other people who were on the 20-pounder guns, they called them all in and they based them around the bottom of the escarpment. And this was quite annoying for them because Uncle used to say, you'd just get your head down and all of a sudden there'd be a terrific bombardment coming down on you from up at the Abbey. Now, the Abbey was part of the Gustav Line, and we're going back to 1944, and it was part of the Italian campaign. And it was founded in 529 AD by Benedict of Nursia. And it was a protected area known as an historic site, even in those days. And it was bombed completely during the war by the Allies, which was a great shame. But a good end to the story, because it actually became a monument to all the soldiers who lost their lives there. So it became a war memorial. Now, I've got a couple of things here that I'd like to show you. The first thing I'm going to show you amazes me. It's a jug. Now, this jug my uncle bought for his wife as a gift in Italy. And it's got Italy on the bottom and 874, not quite sure what that means. But it's a very old jug. You're looking probably, what, 80 years old. And you can see it's quite rustic in appearance. It's quite roughly made, of course, and it was all handmade. And when you look inside, you can see the marks, and you can even see the fingerprints in here of the person who made it. Now, we're going back to gifts. So you're saying, well, what's that got to do with the service? Well, it's got a lot to do with it, actually, because my uncle got married in 1937. In 1939, he was called up, and he never saw my aunt for another 5 years. And it was difficult for her, but he said to her when he went, I'll bring you something nice back. And of course, it astounds me that this jug survived a journey from Italy all the way back to this country in a kit bag. And he must have packed it well. I should think he probably wrapped all his shirts around it or something like that. But it's quite an amusing and fascinating story. Now, Uncle had a gift. And the gift was from God, and he was an expert gardener. When he came back from the war, of course, he came back to no job. And he applied to Rochford Hospital across here, because it used to be one of the main hospitals, and also South End. And he said, have you any jobs? And they said, yes, we want a gardener. So he joined Rochford Hospital as a gardener, and he worked his way up and became head gardener. He had this natural gift for growing things and laying out gardens. Eventually, when he finished up towards the end of his career, he was not only a gardener, he was head gardener, and he was over Rochford Hospital, Southend Hospital, Westcliff Hospital. And there was another one, I think they called Balmoral Hospital, which was a chest hospital in Southend as well. And he was responsible for all those. And because of his natural gift for gardening, he was able to hold that job down. And it was a very responsible job as well. And he used to be consulted by the secretary who used to run this particular hospital. He used to call him in. He used to say, come in, George, and sit down. I want a word with you. And they'd discuss all the plans that were going to happen over here. And they respected Uncle George's gift. And for a long, long time, he was very, very happy there. And he really enjoyed it. Now, one of the other things that he brought back to his wife was this, which he purchased in Egypt. It's a table runner, all hand-embroidered. And my aunt treasured that. And of course, when they passed away, it was passed down to me. And I treasure it as well. And there's another thing here that I brought to you just to show you. This Uncle George's cat badge that he wore on his tam o' shanter, because I used to wear a big berry with a rather large rim. And I've got here also his Italian star and his Africa star, the medals that he was presented with. But that's beside the point. We're not really talking about Uncle, we're talking about gifts. And there are many, many gifts that people are given by God. A lot of the gifts they don't even know they possess. Now, I used to play bass guitar in a group, and I thought I had a natural gift for that, because we did quite well. And then I took up drumming, and I found I had a natural gift for that as well. And I thought, good gracious, I can play two instruments. Some people can play about 10. So where their natural gifts come from, I don't know. But there are many, many and varied gifts that God gives us. And I remember, of course, our dear pastor, Reverend Saunders, and he had a gift of creating challenging messages. And his missionary connections, of course, which he had, 54 years of service to our church, and also he was a highly qualified intellectual, as you know. But there's lots of gifts that are given to people. I've made a list of just a few of the people here who have natural gifts. And we've got people who are able to speak, people who can sing, like Lob and Linda, people who play instruments, like Ruth. And, of course, people can act, and they can be advisors and tutors, sportsmen and women, another thing, thinking of Anne, of course, with her swimming career and diving career. And, of course, there's directors of films, directors of music. There's carpenters, as Jesus was, of course. Engineers, artists, authors, composers, makeup artists. We go on and on. The ministers and religious leaders. And, of course, there's doctors and specialist medical staff, pharmaceutical experts, lecturers, architects. And who else have we got? Humanitarian specialists, military care, military leaders, politicians, loyalty, of course, we mustn't forget those, security specialists, transport specialists, catering experts, and nutritional experts. I'll stop there because it's going on and on and on. And all these people have natural gifts. Now, I don't know whether you know, but some, probably 3 years ago, maybe 4 years ago, I had problems with my eyes. And I was recommended to go and see a Dr. Agarwal, who's based at the eye hospital in Southend. And I went to see him, and he said, I'm going to put some new lenses in your eyes. So I looked at him, and he said, I'll renew the lenses. I thought, good gracious, I'm not a car where you break a lens and put a new one in. I'm an old man. But he was quite happy to do what he was going to do. And I couldn't believe the difference in vision afterwards. I actually came home and I said to Jean, good gracious, I can't believe the whiteness of those flowers. I said, come and look at the whiteness of these blooms on this flower. She said, they've always been white. I said, have they? I thought they were cream. And I could also stand, we got a bay tree down our garden, and I could stand with my new eyes, looking through my new polished lenses, and I could actually see the veins on the leaves of the trees. And that's incredible, isn't it? After having fuzzy vision. So I'm very, very pleased that I was recommended to go and see a man who had a natural gift for healing of eyes. And he actually was one of the leading experts and is now the world-leading expert on treatment for eyes, particularly lasers. And he's actually produced some very special procedures. And, of course, he carries on with his healing work even to this day. And he's absolutely amazing. Now, there's another man I'd like to mention, and his name is Bill Gates, gifted computer genius, as you know. It became, for a while, the richest man in the world. He decided to retire. What did he do? He devoted his time and considerable wealth to creating fresh water and also for sewage facilities and all that sort of thing for the African people. And he carried out a marvellous job there, which is still going on to this day. And by looking at Bill Gates' story, it's incredible what he did. And I was also looking down here that Jean has a natural gift, as you know, for making up these thoughts for the day. And I'm very, very pleased that when we look at each other, you don't know our hidden depths, do you? You don't know what's going on. We're all probably experts in something. It's just a matter of laying our hands on what we are an expert at. So let's pray Dear Father, we thank you so much for this wonderful morning. We thank you for the fun that we have had. We thank you for raising the rafters on your roof. And we thank you so much that you have guided us here this morning. And we thank you for your word. We thank you for being with us. And we ask you to please see us safely home and guide us through this coming week. And those of us who have been unwell or who are unwell, please heal them, restore them back to full health and strength again, dear God. And we would ask your healing powers upon all those in our congregation who have not been able to be here this morning. Be with them and bless them. And of course we would remember dear Alison. So, dear Father, take us home safely, bless us, be with us, and we thank you so much, dear Father, for this morning. Amen.